Welcome back to another episode of the DAT Fitness Business Podcast. Tom Blackman with Dan Smith. Morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How's everything in Dan Smith land?
It's all right. It's going well. Yeah.
And little Smith is on the way soon.
He's coming soon. Yeah. My wife
What's the ETA?
Off. She's off work now. So I think, it's the 20th today. So a couple of weeks.
Wow. Excellent. So I look forward to like the podcast episodes in about 3 or 4 weeks where you're really bright eyed and, you know, awake.
I'll be fine. Yeah. Pretty caffeinated up.
Just monsters all the way, every day.
Yeah. Got some modafinil.
That's old school modafinil. I didn't know that was still around.
I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah, okay, mate. Yeah. Contact Dan for more supplies of modafinil. And that ties in quite nicely with our topic today, because we're talking about sort of myths and truths about online fitness coaching. So the reason we're doing this is because we obviously see adverts for online fitness coaching coaches who coach coaches, and we obviously talk to our clients who have seen this and sometimes subscribe to these sorts of things. And the whole sort of premise of today's podcast is that online coaching is sometimes sold as what it isn't, what it actually is. That's not sold. The dream of that is not sold. And so what you get is a lot of these gurus selling, a dream that a lot of people don't actually realize when they start down the road of online coaching. So that's why we did this podcast today. And me and Dan have come up with seven of the top things, obviously seven, because everything ends in seven, top things that we've seen, not just recently, but generally. And also stuff that we sort of bought into ourselves a little bit when we started and have now realized that aren't true. So Dan, anything to share before we start? Did I sum that up okay?
No, that was great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah. And we don't want it to be like, we're not going to be singling out anybody in particular or anything else. It's just, this is stuff we've seen. And the problem is that when we sometimes talk to coaches, they have said, oh, I didn't think it'd be like this. I thought there'd be something different about online coaching, and it didn't pan out the way I wanted it to. And obviously that's a lot of the time where they come into mine and Dan's coaching business, because they need a bit of help, the help that wasn't delivered to them for this dream ticket. That sound about right?
Sounds absolutely perfect. So after listening to this episode, people should be sorted then, right?
Don't put too much faith in it. It's only entertainment.
save this down. And whenever you see something that sounds too good to be true, just replay it and you'll be fine.
That is the case, because obviously the marketing is sometimes very compelling, isn't it? Okay, so we've got 7 points. Let's get right into the first one. So the first one is the 10K sales letter. And this isn't just the 10K sales letter, because there's obviously different versions of this, but this is this one thing that's going to catapult your sales and your clients' acquisition into the stratosphere. But it's not quite like that, is it, Dan?
No. I mean, I guess this whole episode is going to be like this, but when we talk about it, it sounds really obvious, but then you're almost at that point where these things, they clearly are working for whoever's putting them out there, but it's the way that they're positioned. So they're positioned as the savior, and if you do this one thing, then all of a sudden you're going to have that this letter is responsible for you then earning X amount of money, whatever it is. But when you say it like that, that sounds crazy, but then you'll be in that position of like desperation or something, and you'll go and you'll do it. And then coming at anything from a point of desperation is never good. And I always liken this to, you think about potential clients that you worked with, or clients who are, or potential clients as well. So these people are in a position where they've tried every single thing going, and I'm trying to think of an advert here, but you imagine like an advert, Have you seen the advert where they like rub, you know, put something in the belly button and then it kind of goes through the skin and then the fat melts?
It reminds me of the remember Monty Python, not Monty Python, because that's awesome. The Full Monty. Do you remember that film? Yeah. And the guy is sat in the shed with a cling film, like wrapping it around him while he's eating Mars bars, because the wrapping himself in cling film is what's going to drop the body fat off. So it's okay to eat the elite Mars bars.
But that's my point. So then there'll be these things like that. But what gets me is you go into the comments, there'll be thousands of comments, and the comments aren't like taking a piss. The comments are like, oh my God, does this work for me in this condition? Can you ship it to this country? Oh, I haven't got mine yet. I ordered mine 3 weeks ago. You're like,
this is mind blowing. This is what I needed.
Yeah. But people are obviously ordering it because they're at that point of desperation. It's no different when you see something like, oh, if you use this 10K sales letter, all of a sudden you're going to instantly, if it was that easy, then why isn't everyone doing it? So I guess there's just these comparisons that need to be made sometimes.
Yeah. So it's not just the sales letter. It's this one funnel will give you more sales. This advert template will guarantee more conversions, that sort of thing. Yeah. And obviously we're not saying that those things aren't relevant, because you do need good sales copy. You do need good advert construction. And of course, you know, you do need a decent funnel construction to be able to help clients to get through your process. I'm not saying those things aren't relevant, because they are, but it's part of a whole ecosystem of stuff that goes on in your business.
Yeah.
It's not just about that one thing.
No.
It's all a nice little jigsaw puzzle.
That's what annoys me, because I know of people who have been in situations where they've been, like, this thing has got them. Like, I don't know. Or they've worked with someone where they've gone, you need to do this thing. It's like Super Spike or whatever. And you're like, even the name of it.
I've seen that.
Like, okay, cool. So it sounds enticing. It sounds like it's something that, and also the proof and everything. Okay, I'm not saying that doesn't work, but it works in certain circumstances when everything else is aligned. But if that's not aligned and that person just thinks, oh, I can just do this thing and then it works, then that's not quite right. But also those people who are putting those things out there don't explain that. And I definitely know people who have been in that situation where they've gone, well, this doesn't work for me. But that's because all the other stuff doesn't get talked about.
Right? Yeah. And I think we covered this in the 18, didn't we? Podcast 18, which ironically is being released today, because we obviously film in advance because we're professional. So in 18, we talked about the sales call was the last thing. It was the cherry on the top. And the foundation is the videos you put out, the content, the emails you write, the messages you're having with people, the lead magnets you put out to give people that starting point in your business. All that stuff builds up all that trust and the fact that people actually want to buy from you. And then that's when, if they come into your sales environment, that's when you have that brilliant sales script. That's when you have the sales letter. That's when you have the funnel or whatever, because it's all those things that combine. But you have to do the work beforehand. It's not just, I'll just put this advert out and millions of people will sign up.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
No. So it's all geared around how can I hack that process to shorten down that time frame. And even if someone did sign up or they did come and work with you after that, I'm pretty much guaranteeing that it's going to be a shit relationship, or they're not going to work with you very long.
Yeah, because you haven't built the trust. And if, you know, I don't know if you've done this. I've bought stuff off, you know, copy. I just read the copy and thought, that sounds all right. And the money's not, you know, the money's, if it doesn't work, I can throw the money away on it. And then it arrives from like China or Taiwan or whatever. And it's like, that wasn't really what I was expecting. But it's too much hassle to go for a refund and stuff like that. So you say, I'll just take that one on the chin. You know, I've spent, you know, $49 or whatever it is on that. It wasn't really what I was asking, but I don't mind, you know. We've all done that.
I don't know what you bought. You buy some mini hands.
Yeah, mini hands. Yeah, I'm gonna get some of those. Okay, so that's the 10K sales letter, isn't it? It's the one, you don't just need the one thing that's going to transform your whole business. It's all part of the ecosystem. And that's something that is we think anyway, missold a lot of the time to potential coaches. And what's annoying about that is that, again, people are preying on people's fears, and they're preying on people. Because if you had 10K worth of sales a month, you wouldn't buy this 10K sales letter, because obviously your system's working. It's that promise, isn't it, to get them up to that level, reinforced by all this stuff of, if you're not making 10K a month, you're not a successful coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything feeding back into it.
Yeah. It's that guilt reinforcement of not doing so well. And then here's the thing to get you doing that thing.
Yeah. The fallacy of success.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The next one is the no work myth. So this is the typical advert. Hey, are you a PT that's burnt out on the gym floor doing hundreds and hundreds of clients? And, you know, you just want something better for yourself. Would you like to work from wherever you wanted to be and do hardly any work, because you'll now have online clients and you'll coach them online? There's the advert, isn't it? Sign up now. I'll tell you how to do it.
Exactly. Are you a PT? Fucking hate your job. Such a shit job. It's like, firstly, I'd be really annoyed if I, you know, being in that position. It's actually not a shit job. It's actually pretty decent. And I think you've got opportunity there to have a big impact with people. I think that in itself plays down the importance of that role. So those adverts don't do anyone any favors for that, because it's almost like, the PT is seen as the lesser of the online coach, and they're completely different roles in my eyes. But
yeah.
There's that side of it to contend with. But then this whole factor of, like, you do one or the other, like, it's almost like, why does it have to be like that? Why can't we just have, like, there's these different roles, and you might choose to do that, but then ultimately you might not even enjoy being a coach working online. It might not be for you. I definitely know a lot of people who have tried that out and then gone, that's not for me, don't like it. But it's sold as this the better looking, more handsome older brother, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, it's but also it's the hey, do you work hard? Do you not want to work hard? Do you want to just earn money not working hard and instead just give people online plans? I've got the program to sell to you.
I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like the way it's sold is, look, it's so easy to make work, to make money online as an online coach. And it's almost this, look, we're just going to give you this template to use and you're just going to put it out there and just people will just buy.
Yeah.
People just buy off you because you're an online coach.
Yeah. Look at all these other people who it's worked for. Selective. Okay, cool. But then when you actually look at the maths, we were talking about this earlier, like, some people obviously working with hundreds of trainers and coaches, surely you're going to get some cherry-picked people who it actually does work for. Fine, all good.
Yeah.
What about the people it doesn't work for? That's who I'm worried about.
Yeah. It's like the... let's not name names, but they're in the fitness industry. There's a very well-known coach who has a program which will get you leaner in a certain amount of time, and it has like a 95% fail rate. 95%.
Yeah.
Imagine if your phone failed 95% of the time. You take it back to the shop, wouldn't you, and say, "Oi, give me a phone that works." But 95% of the time it fails.
Yeah. I just think it's easy to get caught up into that trap of thinking that one is better than the other. I'd always base this on, like, okay, what kind of lifestyle do you want? But also, you're going to have to put work into both. Whatever one you're going to do, you're going to be some work involved. I think online coaching, when the pandemic hit, it was a real eye-opener for me, when we were doing a lot of calls at the time with coaches who had never had to worry about online, and then all of a sudden the gym shut and they were like, I don't know what to do. So we're having these calls, and it was almost like a sense of entitlement that came through on some of these calls, with coaches were just going, yeah, I just thought I could just post up a few selfies and then I'd just have some clients. And I was like, and literally that was the mindset and the way of thinking. And I was just like, you're in for a real awakening here, because I'd arguably say that there's more work involved online from a coaching perspective and from the stuff you have to do around it. Whereas if you want to work solely in a facility, depending on where you work, whether you're employed or you're self-employed or whatever, you might not have to do much of, like, the the outside marketing side of things, whereas online, I think you have to do a lot more of that side of stuff, and it's more important.
You know, as a gym owner, I'd agree with that. I don't mean this is an insult, but do you ever work in person with clients for coaching?
Yeah.
So I know, because you did the fire service before. Yeah. So obviously, when you're working with people, if you're in the gym and it's packed full of people, and you're showing this guy how to do a really good exercise, and people can see that this guy is getting results, and that you're personable, it's the best advert. You know, when you're in the gym and people are singing, they're like, do you know what? I want some of what that guy's got. You know, I want to get some results like that. So in the gym is actually not easy, but it's, I would say, easier to pick up clients because you've got the evidence of everybody around you watching that.
Yeah.
And then you've still got the opportunity to post that stuff online as well. So how you transform people's lives in person. And certainly when I was doing personal training in the gym, I had no issue getting clients. It was, you know, I only worked with a couple of people because of the gym, but I had no problem getting clients. If I had a vacancy, I'd just say, I've got this vacancy, and like people just sign up. It's easy.
It is mad because I still get inquiries now from people who still think I PT. So it's like, where are you based now? What do you? And I'm like, oh, I can't help you. I haven't done this for years. But they still associate it with you because they've seen you somewhere in that environment, and it's the same thing. Or can you come around to mine? We've got a new gym set up at our house. Do you want to come around and PT? And I'm like, oh, mate, unless you pay me like thousands of pounds. No, I probably still would do it, to be fair.
Well, the reason I stopped doing in-person PT was just literally, I just didn't enjoy it anymore. I enjoy coaching, but the in-person thing just didn't. What happened was, is I was coaching so many people, at the end of it, I didn't have time for my own workout. I was like, well, I've done 4 workouts already today mentally. I don't want to do another one. So it's my own workouts were rubbish. That's why I stopped.
Going back to the whole point of this, it's like there's not there's work involved in both, isn't there?
It's of course. Yeah. Not
positioning this to be some kind of easier ride. And I think that fools people into this sense of security, going, oh, I'm going to work online and be on a laptop on the bit like we were talking about earlier. I tried to I was like, I've got a train journey down to London on Friday. I've just answered some of these things on the train journey. Literally, by the time I tried to get the fucking Wi-Fi, everything sorted out, I just gave up. I was trying to hotspot my phone, and I just went, this is shit. Like, it's not as like glamorous as what people make out.
No, which sort of segues us nicely into our next point, which is the work from anywhere myth. let's be clear here. If you're an online coach, you absolutely can work from anywhere because you can take your laptop and go and sit on a beach in Bali if you wanted to and write plans to people. Of course you can. You know, you can write, like you said, you can do laptop stuff on your train, that sort of thing. However, I would say that for the majority of people, they won't end up doing the jet set lifestyle in terms of, oh, I'm just in the departure lounge at Heathrow ready to go to Miami. So now I'm going to crank out 30 plans. I don't think that's the reality for everyone. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because obviously it does. But for the majority of coaches I know, they have somewhere where they work. So I'm an online coach. This is my office in my house. So I work from home. You know, I also have an office at the gym. You know, occasionally I go and work from a coffee shop, but that's writing emails and stuff like that. You know, I always do client calls here, because it's in my office. I always do certain jobs in certain locations because it's easier, like filming YouTube videos here because I've got the studio set up. You know, and yeah, I know there are people that do it. I'm not saying they don't, but it is the minority. The majority of people will work from home or work from a coffee shop, sort of thing.
Yeah, big factor is environment. So from a productivity point of view, I know some people like yourself can work in a coffee shop. I've tried that. I like the idea of it, never works. It's just, I'm nowhere near as productive. I need to be in here and then I can do it. But also I've got some coaches who have left here, left this country and gone to travel. And you'd think in that environment, like it's the perfect setup, right? You're going to go and travel. I can work online. I've got clients based. The difficulty they had in once they got somewhere in then settling and finding a routine was really hard, more difficult than they ever imagined it would be, because they just thought it would just happen. But because they were unsettled and always moving, they couldn't get any kind of structure to their days and their week. So then it impacted work and how they performed. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% on that. I mean, we talked before about the environment and being in the right, the mental state to work is really important. And we talked about the importance of being Batman. You know, what you need your environment to be congruent with what you want to do. So if you're looking to write like emails and stuff like that, you probably don't want to be in an environment which is like a kid's play place. You know, I've tried doing that when I took Jacob to somewhere and I tried writing an email. I'm like, I can't even think of what to write because I've got bloody kids screaming in my ear and Jacob's just stubbed his foot and everything else. So I can't work from anywhere. If I'm going to write emails, and also the time of day is really important.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to write emails at 10 o'clock at night. I have, and it's not that good. They aren't that good. I have to write them in the day when I'm productive.
Yeah, I've done that and then read them back like the next day. Gone on the phone. Just really bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. Timing, different environments definitely play a big part in it.
Yeah, and I think from my experience talking to people, the most productive coaches are the ones that do have some, they're online coaches, but they have an online office, as in like I have here, you have at your house. Yeah. You know, they have somewhere that when they walk into that room, it's productivity time.
Yeah.
And when they walk out of that room, they're off work. You know, it's, and yeah, we, you know, people do stuff in coffee shops and stuff. Great. You know, you can do that. But I think for an online coach, you have to have that grounding of this is my workplace.
That's it. Agreed.
Cool. And also, like, why would you want to write a bloody email on a beach in Bali? I don't want to do that. I want to be sat in the sun drinking cocktails.
Yes. Relaxing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, and do you know what? I do know some people who live in Indonesia, Bali, that sort of area. And do you know where they work? They work in their house. And then they got an office and then they go out to the beach afterwards. They don't work from the beach. I don't know anybody who works from the beach.
No.
I know I've seen plenty of people who have photos of them working from the beach. Not sure how productive they are, though.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So third one is that forget about this, do this instead. And this is the forget about YouTube, forget about Instagram, forget about Facebook. What you need to get clients is this. And I just so happen to have a thing to sell you to do that.
Yeah, it's if someone is ever pushing something away, well, pushing you away from something in particular, is then normally the answer, the solution is something that they've got to sell, right? So
yeah,
please be aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of this recently. It's like, oh, forget about sending emails, that's dead. Really? Because for the last time I looked at stats, email was the best performing sales medium over any other social media.
Yeah.
So why would someone try and dissuade you away from doing emails?
Yeah. Yeah. You've always got to be open to the fact that if they are really, really adamantly against something, then there's obviously a solution to it around the outside. Yeah, that happens. Again, there's probably similarities there in the fitness nutrition world, when people are always like talking about potential, like, I don't know, gut problems, and have you ever had that IBS symptoms and all this? Oh, but do you want this special greens powder or whatever it is to help with your digestive issues?
Yeah. Forget about carbs, keto.
Yeah,
or they're just, that's what you want.
Yeah, like V-shreds and their body types.
yeah, let's do a body type test. Okay, are you a human? Yes. Okay, don't worry about body type testing. There's the quiz. If you answered no to that first question, there's something to worry about.
Yeah, definitely.
So and what I'm trying to get here is there are tried and tested things that really do work, you know. So yes, emails do work. 100% you should be sending emails out. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, all of those things are worth having in your ecosystem in some degree. You probably want to focus more on at least one or probably two maximum as a main. So for me, it's Instagram and YouTube as my main focus. I post on Facebook as well, but you know, it's basically just a reposting of what I did on Instagram. But yeah, you shouldn't forget stuff just because some gurus told you to do it.
No, yes. Figure out things yourself as well, because there's like an element of testing involved. So just because someone says, oh, this isn't important, you should focus on this, like, still open your eyes to it, because it's still like say if it is a different platform, or maybe you think actually there's some different traction that's happening on Facebook, for example, like, why wouldn't you go and use it? Actually, because someone says, oh, you don't need to worry about Facebook anymore. Actually, it's quite important sometimes.
I mean, with Facebook, the groups element of Facebook is something I really do focus on, because that is really important for building a community. But that facility is not available on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, and LinkedIn is, you know, I just post on there because it's easy to just repost. But, you know, LinkedIn for me is not a great lead burner at the moment, lead generator. But YouTube is my biggest growing channel. It's the thing I'm growing most followers on, getting the most reactions from. It's the thing that really works for me at the moment. So,
yeah, you know, that's it.
It's just part of the reason why we do this on YouTube.
Yeah, going in and the other thing on that though, is to at least commit to it for a period of time so you can see what's happening. I just do it for a couple of days and go out. That's just shit. And then,
I mean, I'll tell you what, YouTube is really one for that. As we've seen with our stuff, you know, when you're starting a new channel, you've really got to work at it. It's, you know, it's probably 6 months to get at least any sort of decent traction on YouTube before anything really happens.
Yeah, definitely.
And certainly that's something I've seen in the last, I've been on YouTube sort of public, doing it properly for about 2 years. And it's only the last sort of 6 to 8 months I've seen consistent growth in views and traffic and followers. Now that I've got that, now that YouTube's established that I'm not actually just a pop-up channel, now I'm actually producing content every week. And it takes time for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely noticed the same. I said to you that the other day, actually, which is quite interesting to see that over that period of time, just being consistent and not ignoring it, but just doing the stuff, letting it kind of build and build and build without getting too like, oh my God, I've posted 5 videos now. I wonder why is nothing happening?
And I think that's the thing that when gurus or guru coaches, whatever, say, you know, forget about this, do this instead. What they're doing is breaking your consistency. So if you keep doing, oh, forget about this, do this, so you keep doing different things all the time, you've got no consistency. So you'll never get traction on anything because you're not seen as a valid contributor.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, agree.
Cool. Okay, so here's one that you like. This is your favorite. Guarantee clients in X amount of time.
I mean, it sounds, surely if someone else heard that, they would go, that sounds really good. Like, too good, obviously too good. But why do people fall for it? I don't know. Like,
it's like, you know, obviously in the fitness industry, guaranteed, lose 6 kilos, guaranteed all your money back. You know, how can you guarantee that?
I just think any guarantee you've got to really, I don't know how you can guarantee, actually. I don't know how you can guarantee something that, in a time frame with your business, with client numbers, with income, I just think it's very difficult to do that. But yeah, I do see it happen a lot. People saying, we've got this, we've cracked the code, we've got the key to the secret, which is going to be this thing that I've done it with X amount of coaches already. So this is proven. And I still, even like that, still, if you've got this proven thing, then why is it not working with everybody? I just find it fascinating.
Yeah. And if it was guaranteed, why aren't they driving, you know, a Bugatti around? Why they only got a Mercedes?
Wow. Yeah.
Because if it was guaranteed, they'd have millions of people buying the product and raving about it.
I just think it's a really dodgy place to be. And I'll get people are coaches on calls and they'll say, you know, I know you can't tell me this, but, you know, what's kind of the return on investment and stuff? What can I expect to see happen? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I can't tell you this. I can't. It'd be wrong of me to even sit here and say by 6 weeks you'll be in this position, because I don't know that and I can't predict it. But what I can say is we'll work on these things and we'll embed this stuff and we'll start to build towards whatever the goals are that we've set. But I can't say for sure, like, if that's going to happen, because I'd be wrong.
Yeah. No, I think, for example, in my physique coaching, my one-to-ones, I say to people, they say, oh, what guarantees can you give about weight loss or whatever? I'm like, well, I can't guarantee that. What I can guarantee is you'll be in much better shape when we finish than when you started. I can absolutely guarantee that.
Yeah.
You know, caveat, put the work in, you know. But, you know, because I've had people who work with, they've lost zero weight across the whole of the time I've worked with them, but they're now in better shape with less body fat and more muscle. So you can't guarantee stats like weight, clients, leads, doesn't mean anything. You know, we know we could drop weight off someone very quickly by just giving them no calories and a load of laxatives. Yeah, that would work really quickly.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything they've had results. Same with like leads, same with clients. I've had people, well, I still get them, probably two or three a week emailing the gym. I can guarantee you 30 new members in 30 days. Well, I'm sure you can if you price my membership at $10.99 and just blanket advertise on Facebook. I'm sure you could do that. Would those people stay? No. You know, would they be a good fit for the gym? No. But yes, you have got me 30 clients. Doesn't work.
From a leads perspective, people think, it's not leads, is it, that you want? You want clients. You want, ideally, your clients as well, your type of people, not just random people who've suddenly seen something at the right time, right place. But so there's a difference between that, what a lead is, and then what an actual client is, a customer to you. I think that's
important. Yeah. So leads are top of the funnel, isn't it? And then qualified leads, that's the next one down, isn't it? Before they've even had the sales conversation. Are they actually people who can work with you in your business?
Yeah.
Yeah. And out of 30 people inquiring, only one might be someone who's suitable.
That's it.
But if the advertising guy's got you 30 leads, that's their job done. All they've got is 30, they've got you 30 messages on Messenger. Well, great. Now I've got to sit there chatting to 30 people who are absolutely not the right people, and they're just going to annoy me. And then I've got one out of those who's a decent lead.
Yeah. Just again, it goes back to that thing, like you're trying to hack the system some way or another. And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Or the other one is, I'll guarantee to get you to 10K a month in like 2 months or whatever. What? Okay. By targeting all the people who are already in your system anyway, and then selling them a high ticket product, which you then front load in so they pay up front. So then you sell 10 of those at £1,000. So now you've made 10K a month. But that's for 3 months worth of coaching.
Yeah.
So you've not really made 10K, have you?
Six-figure business, eh?
Yeah. 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 And Stripe, screenshot, success. Go get that bread, King. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left, so we've got two more. Okay, so the penultimate is high ticket dream selling. And this is where people are like, do you know what? Are you struggling to get clients? Can you not get the lifestyle you want? Cut to beach, laptop. Do you know what you need? You need high ticket clients. And I've got the formula to get you high ticket clients. And when you've got this formula, you will only need to sell two of these coaching slots per month, because you'll be earning £6,000 a month.
It sounds amazing, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds almost too easy. But we've been through this before, and I've been duped. You know, I went into that, the high ticket side of things. Because obviously it sounds impressive, doesn't it? But I actually written about this a few times, probably made some videos on it as well. But the high ticket, the actual phrase high ticket is just, it doesn't really mean anything. Like, why it's been made up so that for these reasons, so that we can sound like, oh, if you sell high ticket, what does high ticket actually mean? What justifies a high ticket price? Is there a certain price point that suddenly becomes high ticket? Or is it that you're just charging more in accordance with what you deliver as a service and the outcome you provide? And then what someone's prepared to value that as is the price point, not because it's suddenly above 997, that means it's high ticket. Like, I just don't understand it. So it's almost like it's been made up so that people can sell more things. But I don't get the fucking meaning behind it. It winds me up. Yeah.
But also, if people aren't selling their low ticket, whatever you want to call it, their normal coaching for whatever it is, how are they magically now going to sell the same coaching to high ticket clients? Is there like a club that you have to go to like meet these people, like an online club? You know, go here and here's where all the high ticket clients are. that's where the busy professionals thing comes from, isn't it? Because I only work with busy professionals because they've got the money to afford my high ticket program. But actually, if you look at people who have got decent money, they're very, very careful about who they spend their money with. They do their research. And I know this because I've worked with a few people now who have very good money, and the interview process, as in when we had our conversation, they asked me a whole load of questions that I wouldn't normally get on my normal coaching. And it was very much based on performance, return on investment, how my coaching works, all this sort of stuff, so they could make an informed decision about if it was worth the investment.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot more to take into account, but you can't just go, well, that's just going to happen, isn't it? All right.
Just magically, just like people will just appear and pay you $2,500 for a week's coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that, does it? And again, it comes back to what we're talking about before. You've got to build that trust. And if you're going to sell that high price, it's got to be so much more trust because the investment is so much higher.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, and last one is also one of your favorites, and that is templates for everything. rant away.
I mean, I'm sure we've touched on a few of these before, but like the template side of things is one that's becoming bigger and bigger, I feel, but there's not really much. I guess it's this way it's positioned again. It's like, here's your templates for content creation for the next 12 months or whatever, or here's 20 pre-written emails for this month. And I just think, okay, I'm all for templates and structure and having something that people can kind of mold to their own, but is that actually happening? Are we still getting that that education around it, or is it just that here's the stuff for you to copy, paste and drop in? The same with the design element. Like there's only so much you can kind of change with those things, and then they still do blend into each other and they still do look the same. But if you're getting to a stage where you're not you're just using that as a way to not deal with the problem of maybe improving your message and then getting better, then you're not going to connect anyway, because it's just using a generic format to build your business, which is not going to work.
I think that the problem here is, again, it's that no work myth that is sold to people. And I see this a lot in, I'm involved in a couple of industries, and I don't see this really in any other industry. And it's the fitness space is like, here's all the stuff to automate your stuff, you know, and the templates thing is part of that. So it's like, do you not want to do content? No problem. We'll write all your content for you. And here's 365 days worth of Instagram content. But okay, if you buy that and it's like £97, obviously, or something like that, or it's even like stupid, like £47 for the templates. Okay, so that's a year's worth of content. But if you paid that £47, you know, that's not going to be tailored to your niche. That's not going to be, I would say, branded to your brand look. So it might have your colors, but it won't be your brand message. It won't be on brand for your fonts and your style of talking and that sort of thing. You know, the content is going to be very broad because they're selling this low price product, trying to sell as many as possible. So all that's going to happen is you're just going to blend into the background with every other coach doing that sort of stuff. And again, you're not solving a unique problem for a unique person. And so you try and give them a high ticket offer, they'd be like, whatever.
Yeah.
You're just not the expert in the industry.
But you'll also feel like you're doing stuff because you've got these things. So you'll feel like I'm putting content out there. I'm doing this stuff, which, okay, yeah, you are. But then it's not how. What would you rather? Like someone come and work with you because they're like, they can't believe how much you connect with them, and they said that when you spoke or when they read your stuff that they felt like you were actually speaking to them. Or do you just want someone to come work with you because you talked about how many sources of protein there are or something?
Aldi Foods, Aldi Protein Shop. Yeah. And that's the whole thing is that, and I think this is what some people don't get, is that if you're creating content every single day, like me and you create content every single day, and you know, we have brand templates we follow, as in what our brand says and what, and our fonts and our logos and everything else. But what we create is stuff that we've thought of. Now, because we're doing that, and we've been doing that consistently for years, we know our client inside and out, you know, so we can talk about any problem they're facing inside and out because we've created the content for that. If you're not creating the content, if you're leaving it to someone else, and then that client comes on, how are you going to relate? Because you don't know what their problems are. You haven't taken time to research the content, research the problems, put together some solutions, and then create the content. You haven't done all that. You just bought content coming in.
Yeah.
How are you going to relate to your coaching clients if you're not speaking to them every day with your content?
Yeah. It just goes to kind of bring everything together and say that you mentioned it a minute ago, but like, are we the only place where people just think, don't want to do anything? I don't want to do any part of that business. I mean, even the coaching side of it, sometimes I feel, I mean, I've definitely heard stories of people like outsourcing the coaching or outsource the programming side of it, which I'm a bit like, what are you here for? I mean, I get it if you're in a position where the business grows and you have people and teams and stuff like that, and you pull yourself further and further away. But at the initial stages, it's almost like, how little can we do to make this thing work? Mm. Whereas you want to be thinking, how much can I do to get into, can I put into this to have an impact? And I don't remember ever a time like starting all this stuff with a coaching that I ever thought like, how can I make this, like, how can I just do less of this? And I was just thinking about how can I do more, even to the points where we spoke on previous ones of doing like, I would have anxiety without having three posts ready for the next day. I was like, I've got three posts for this one tomorrow. Like post them at 7, 12, 6. And I'd be like, if I didn't do it, I'd be like freaking out. And now it's like, oh, can I just get someone else to just create these posts, generic posts, and post them? I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
No. Each post needs a bit of copy as well. And what you say in the copy is also very relevant. Yeah. So if you know, you might have got someone to create the post for you, and then you've got to write the copy. But because you haven't thought of the post, then the copy doesn't follow, does it?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, I think that's the 7 done. Here's the bonus. The bonus is thinking ChatGPT will do all your stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching a video on how to do YouTube videos, like you know, how to do them professionally and stuff like that. And this lady is all like an entrepreneur in the entrepreneur space. And she's got a video out just recently that says, here's how to earn $800 a month by using ChatGPT. And basically it was like, tell ChatGPT to write some emails and then generate a list of businesses in your area and then email all of those saying, do you want me to be your email marketer?
Oh, wow.
And then you could use ChatGPT to write all the emails for them.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are people who are doing that and making money.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are. But in sense of as an online coach, do you really want to get ChatGPT to write all your workouts for you? Do you really want it to get it to write all your emails for you and write all your content for you? You know, and I'm not saying I don't use ChatGPT, because I do. It's very good for helping me generate ideas. And if I've got a blank screen in front of me, I'm thinking, what do I write here? I just have to type in, give me a few suggestions, and it will a whole load of stuff will come out. I'm like, great, I can use that and write it in my own voice. But not once have I copied verbatim everything it said and chucked that into one of my web pages or one of my copy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's a great tool, and I'm definitely using it more and more for speed, like just for really things that might take a little while in the past, research, ideas. And then that's been great for that side of things. But yeah, I don't disagree that there's people out there making money out of just using ChatGPT, because it's just time thing, isn't it? So someone hasn't got the time to go and put the prompts in while I pay someone else to do that. But they're still like generic. I wouldn't want someone just using ChatGPT to create stuff for us.
No, you wouldn't, would you? That's a long story short. Great. Okay, nice one, mate. A little bit over time today, so let's wrap it up. Where can people find you if they want to learn how to outsource their stuff?
ChatGPT.com.
Click funnels.
Yeah.
Ban funnels.
Ban Strong Collective anywhere. Anywhere you like.
Excellent. For me, it's Instagram is it's Tom Blackman Coach now. And the website is buildcoaching.co.uk. YouTube is just Tom Blackman though. Okay, great. Dan, thanks for a great and informative podcast. And hope you have a great Monday. And I'll see you on the next podcast. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Really do appreciate your time spent listening to me and Dan rant about different stuff. If there's anything you want us to cover, just let us know. And we will absolutely do our best to not answer your question, but talk a lot. See you next week, mate.
Yeah.